This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
And we now are in the city of Ekurhuleni, state of Ekurhuleni. And of course, why not? Since we're talking about government of national unity, coalition government, grand coalitions, and all of the likes, why not then head to city and municipality of Ekurhuleni, an important one here in Gauteng, just like Tshwane is and just like Johannesburg is. We are then in conversation with the executive mayor of Ekurhuleni, Dr. Takaza, and Nkosi Ndiphile, I'm told, also means God-given. So let me bring Dr. Takaza into the conversation. Dr. Takaza, welcome to Power 98.7, sir. How are you?
I'm very good, and yourself, Denzel?
I'm really, really good. And belated in essence, but let me say congratulations. I saw the developments. We haven't spoken yet, so congratulations on the situation there in Ekurhuleni, but also a massive milestone in essence then, because in a short space of time there's been movement on the budget, the annual budget. There's been approval of that particular annual budget. And we saw an extraordinary council meeting that saw what some are calling an unprecedented display of local government unity, something you don't often see when you get to aspects of political parties these days, Dr. Geiser. But I suppose a proper milestone where we're talking about Ekurhuleni.
Yeah, no, I must say that of course, we have to lift up that display of unity, because it's something that we must take home and communicate to our communities that that which they saw in the main, I was elected unopposed 11th of April. Now we are exactly about 2 months. And the significance really of the council meeting approving the budget, it is linked directly to how the parties actually voted. So that's significant. It's important that we don't lose it. But I must say that in the 60 days, we've actually tried our best to actually give confidence to our communities. One, we've the State of the Cities address, where we communicated the six pillars, our objectives, our plan, for the city. Immediately, we've launched, the war room to actually the oversight and ensure that service delivery or the city is more responsive, to service delivery. We've gone to mayoralism visas, which is something that has not happened in the past 2.5 years, for us to go to communities to actually, be held accountable. We've been to Tembisa. Tembisa was a, big story during the DA-led collision, including the government that was largely influenced by the EFF. We've gone to Twatwa to resolve the water issues. We've gone to Tsakane to attend the reservoirs issues and ensure that we close the relations between ourselves, the provincial government, national government, including groundwater, in terms of how they are responding, to giving services to our people. We're going to Tema to ensure that the transformer, which was stuck somewhere in a factory over a year, we're bringing that factory, that transformer, we're installing so that there's a sustainable provision of electricity. We've been to Katlehong. So, and really, that has been our effort to, demonstrate that that which we communicate to our people in the six key pillars, we want to ensure sustainable provision of services, quality provision of those services, we're actually doing, including attending to the suburbia, just to make sure that the street lights are done, you cut the grass, the tar roads, are actually done. You keep the city clean, and we take pride in that type of work supported by administration, and I think our communities, they've noticed. Even, I mean, when we're busy with the elections program, we actually ensure that let's keep an eye on the ball and ensure that, there is a continued provision of services. And really, the budget takes a step forward to actually ensure that we now, all these programs that we've actually, pronounced, we are integrating them now into the systems of the city, the IDP needs of our communities in terms of what priorities, we're actually integrating them in order for our communities to own up and say, indeed, that is the budget, this is our seat. And really, for all the parties to actually respond in the manner in which they've responded, it means our consultation efforts, because one of the things that we had to emphasize when we elected was that we uphold the wisdom of the multi-party. Two, we will always consult them in decision-making to ensure that we keep our city stable. Our communities, they've been worried. They've seen high level of instability for the past 2.5 years. They've been asking, how far are you going to go? And I have said, I take courage from how the multi-party have actually voted. And one of the things that I must put on the table is consultation to ensure that we complete the remaining 2.5 years. But that must be characterized by us giving services to our people.
Sure. Let me ask you this, Doc. It's been referred to and referenced, and there's an element that me and you will maybe in the next coming days, in the next coming weeks, maybe have a different conversation about MMCs and withdrawal and how that would impact a particular statement that said we will withdraw all our MMCs where, alignment is not happening anymore. But let me ask you this, and as maybe an unfair question as it is, but I'm going to ask it. The removal of the MMC for finance, deemed in essence by some within that multi-party as a necessary, and some were even talking about misalignment, unforeseen misalignment aspects that brought about that the MMC for finance. How crucial an aspect was that? Because the impact of that might just, like I say, bring about further conversations with myself and yourself around, how Ekurhuleni begins to work down the road regarding the kind of statements that were made. But how key a moment was that to then move ahead? Are you able to identify that particular, yes. Hurdle?
No, definitely. You would know the removal of Mayor Godwana. Yeah. There was conversation around, even the party where I come from, the ANC, across other parties as well. And at the center of everything was issues of how much, the budget of the city is responsive to community needs. Mm. There were issues that since the change of the then DA-led coalition government has not been a shift in how we're responding to the communities of Tembisa, for instance, to across all the other what we call priority wards. It means our wards that are in the township, there needed to be a reprioritization in terms of how we deal with the budget and the IDP needs. And that's one thing that, in this budget, my first budget, I had to make sure that, we're responding to. Two, there's been an outcry about financial sustainability. Mm-hmm. Where are we going? Revenue enhancement. Service providers are crying. They are not being paid. Collections levels are low. There's over-reliance on the electricity, tariff. What other measures that as a city government will have to do to actually ensure that our revenue base is beyond just water issues, beyond just electricity? What are other, just from the regional economy point of view, if we fast-track approvals of development approvals.
You need the money to implement the IDPs.
Yes, definitely. Yeah. Now, all those things are very critical. And the team that I work with, it has to be responsive on these issues. And there's no way that we're delayed just by elections, you know, the date of the elections on the 29th, when we're supposed to have a council meeting on the 31st. Now, we needed a sense of agility to actually ensure that these issues that councils are raising, that we pretty much know about, they're actually taken on a very serious light. And and that's what sort of misalignment that we're on about. It's not about politics. It's purely performance. It's purely on that which we need to do. And we can't compromise on what our communities in the city actually want. And even in the midst of uncertainty because of numbers, if I'm given a responsibility to lead the city, it must be clear in administration, it must be clear in council that we will not compromise on some of the imperatives that are necessary to actually take our city forward. Now, I'm saying those have been the issues, and we communicated them as such, and we're happy that there has been a serious reprioritization that has been done on the budget, that the revenue enhancements, financial sustainability programs are clearly articulated and now in the budget. But fundamentally, is also issues that adherence to good governance. We are happy that we're well on our way to, you know, recover on our, you know, the clean audit status. You know, we've achieved back-to-back clean audits. It's our pride as a city. But recently, we had to lose. We lost that because of how we engage with the AG. And all these things in the planning system, they are very fundamental. How do you then appreciate, all these structures that are able to assist to take the city forward?
But then, Mayor, Executive Mayor, with all of the accolades and the congratulations aspect and the sort of applause that comes and says, yes, you've crossed the hurdle of approving the annual budget, you know, it took a lot to be done in essence, and now you're in the nitty-gritty of enhancing the financial position and a revenue enhancement plan that also comes. You've got the key six pillars, exploring new revenue opportunities you talk about, and those are probably aspects that the taxpayer doesn't want to listen to, the exploring of new revenue, you know, avenues. But let me say, as you then the capital passed the capital budget of, what was it, 2.9 billion, 5.4% increase in that. You've also got tariff adjustments that were approved. 4.9% increase in assessment rates, 9% increase in water tariffs, 7% increase in sanitation, and varying then increases for electricity tariffs from 11% more or less to about 13%, including the financial plan and everything. Sometimes a necessary evil, but sometimes it has to be done in instances where you've got to fill the coffers and you've got to make those adjustments.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, no one wants to pass increases to our communities. We understand the state of our economy, that our communities are highly depressed in terms of what they have at their disposable income. But one of a few principles that are important for us that we have to look at is to ensure that, one, the tariffs are cost reflective, but secondly is a principle of affordability. One important about cost is that that which NERSA approves through, for an example, the electricity tariffs, it is guided. They give us what is it that we must pay as an increase to ESCOM, and what is it that we must pass to our communities. And on our side, we're very conscious on that area because we are not allowed to even tamper with that, including just the provision of water, how much we pay, for bulk water that we get from rainwater, how much it costs us to transport that water, from the rainwater reservoirs to our own reservoirs. How do we treat that water? The engineers that are there until you know our communities consume what we call the cleanest quality water with our blue you know drop status, including the cost of purifying. I mean of treatment works of treating the sanitation until it is charged into the rivers. Now then the entire model we have to ensure that we recover the actual cost of providing that that service, and it is our you know determination to ensure that we don't pass unjustified increases to our communities because the principle of affordability must always guide us. But what is fundamental is that in our key pillars we set, we want to ensure that there's a provision of sustainable quality services to our communities. And we can only do that if we've got the money in the account. But also importantly is issues around repairs and maintenance. Are we able to, you know, maintain that which we've built?
Yeah.
Are we able to close the portals? Are we able to service the street lights? Are we able to ensure that the water leaks? We keep the city clean and all that. We need the money. But our pride is that through this budget, we're beginning to see much more investment into repairs and maintenance. We're now sitting at about 6%, and over the MTREF, we can see the growth to about 8%, which is what National Treasury actually guides us as better threshold to say for us to keep the city, going, we have to ensure that there is make a provision on repairs and maintenance. Now, we have pride that this budget that we finally approved, we will be able to take it to our communities to have engagement, because we think we've paid sufficient attention to all the critical areas, including investment on social packages that we understand there's poor people. I mean, in Tembisa, for instance, 2 years ago, we lost lives there because our communities were complaining that the then changed leadership has not been responsive in terms of social packages. We have to look at our indigent and make sure that it is actually responsive, that the debt rehabilitation for those who can afford to pay, we actually meet them halfway. We rehabilitate them, they're able to pay. All those areas are areas that we've been able to look at. But we know we did a budget approval in the midst of a serious conversation in the country, the election of the president. We would have to make a special time to go out to our communities and actually engage so that they better understand what is it that we're doing and what is it that they're actually paying for.
Sure. Mayor, you know, when one listens or interviews Panyaza Lesufi here on this show and other shows as well, the premier, of course, and outgoing and incoming, and that's Panyaza Lesufi, he always talks about exploring new revenue opportunities, looking at, you know, how to cut the cloth differently, optimizing revenue collection is part of it, but exploring new revenue opportunities is something he looks at as well. That from a provincial aspect, what kind of ideas do you have, or what kind of ideas are forthcoming from where you sit in Ekurhuleni?
Well, from where we are sitting, we think across all our departments, there are new revenue streams. But what is important is for now for us to optimize on the operational efficiency, just to ensure that whatever that we do, we minimize the revenue leakages.
Okay.
And for you to do that is just on the billing integrity alone, because it does affect your collection. If your communities are not happy with that which you are billing for, there's no transparency in the statement. There's no transparency in the consumption. It could be because of, your meter replacement program is not responsive. You've got an aging, meter, or it took you time to fix, a broken meter over 3 months. I mean, it's understandable when you say we are an interim because the city, of the demand and all those things. But once it's beyond 3 months on an interim, it will be questionable. There's nobody who will just pay freely. And that goes a long way in actually affecting your revenues. So we'll have to fix that. We've actually listed that and said we need to ensure that we invest money where it is needed most. Let's fix the meters. Let's make sure that that which our communities are paying for, they actually understand. Let's put up systems. Let's automate and make sure that those automations are actually working so that you can actually understand, read your meter from your, I mean, your consumption from your phone, be able to get your statement on the phone. It goes a long way just to make sure that there are no disputes. Communities are able to actually pay. And secondly, we'll have to look at what are other, you know, revenue, potential revenue. I was just making an example with you, just from the regional economy. If we're able to ensure that we fast track, you know, development approvals, it go a long way. Because if you've got industry, if you've got business activities, then you are certainly having, you know, people who will be able to pay. So there's various streams that we actually look at. And from those streams, we can easily identify another 5 billion, rands that we think in the next year we should be able to unlock. And it will go a long way because it adds to our revenue. It means now we've got that money to go and cut the grass in that cemetery where we've been having difficulties. We can now fix those potholes much quicker. We can even subsidize some of the tariffs increases. We can have that conversation to say, look, instead of passing 7% to our communities, we understand rainwater, they want their 7%. However, we can subsidize this part because of the kind of innovations that we're actually having. And I'm sure we are working on the strategy. We've said to council in the next council meeting will be much more clearer in terms of some of the measures that we've identified. And I'm sure, Denzel, we can have just a day just to discuss with you some of the revenue enhancement measures in greater detail, some of the financial sustainability, because it is important that we get the communities of Gauteng to be on par with that which
absolutely
we are doing, so that they can also add, you know, into the conversation and actually participate. One of the things that we communicated in our key pillars, we said we want to invite the private sector to work with us. Where we do not have the money, where we do not have the know-how, we must make it possible for our communities, for the business communities, for our own professionals to actually add the value in taking our city forward.
Sure. Dr. Nkosi Ndiphile, that's where we end the interview. But can I in a minute ask you this particular question, sir? Are you in the light of a threat from a political party based on Ekuruleni and a particular position, MMC for finance, ready for maybe when you did speak of amidst the uncertainty that we have, not compromise, you might have further uncertainty coming your way, or are you engaging aspects of that uncertainty when it comes your way and not as in when it is alluded to your way?
I mean, I must say this again, Denzel. We were elected by unopposed by the multi-party. It's 16 political parties represented in council.
Yeah.
And it includes some of the biggest parties who decided not to field a candidate. You know, the Democratic Alliance, you know, you name them at the time. And whatever that is currently happening in the country would have pretty much, enabling it. Because whatever that happened in Ekuruleni at the time was actually looked at very closely.
Yeah.
We, of course, do not want to, because we do not know, I mean, it's out of our hands what would be happening in the nationally, even in provinces.
Yeah.
But from where we are sitting, we've prioritized performance. We prioritize issues of performance, and anybody who is not, performing according to the expectations of our communities, doesn't deserve to be part of the of the mayoral cabinet, and that for me is fundamental. And we've now have acting MMC of finance. We don't want to respond to other political statements because I'm having this conversation as the executive mayor of Ekurhuleni. Tomorrow you can invite me as a convener of the ANC in the region, and I'm sure I'll answer to you differently. But where I'm sitting, we want to have a team, and that team in the 100 days program, every one of us must perform. You must do that which is expected, you know, by our communities. We will soon be signing the performance agreement, and we expect, you know, every one of the MMCs to sign. And that's why we must make sure that there's proper alignment. Everyone understands that which needs to be done, because we must say, give our communities hope that even in the midst of uncertainties, there are efforts to actually get the city forward. I'm not sure if I...
No, you have, Dr. Nkosi Ndiphile Xekaza. And it's been a pleasure talking to you, sir. And I can only wish you good luck. You know, the turmoil in Ekurhuleni, and as is Botswana, and sometimes here in Johannesburg, you know, if it can get to a better place, then it needs to get to a better place. The you have raised the six key pillars that, of course, you were working to, and then, of course, exploring the others. I can only say good luck, sir. And, you know, within the next couple of months, we will engage. And as you've put forward, things might be changing in Ekurhuleni. Thank you so much, sir.
Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot for the opportunity.
Nkosi Ndiphile Xekaza, executive mayor there of Ekurhuleni. And it does seem like a turnaround strategy. Whatever the interventions are, whatever is happening, something is happening in Ekurhuleni that seems that, you know, changes are being made, and changes for the good. How, you know, it's going to be accepted and looked at and engaged, and whether all political parties see it as the same. That's something different. The argument, the suggestion that I was making was to the executive mayor was, of course, one does understand, was it a threat from the EFF or wasn't it a threat? Or is it, you know, when it's a threat, you know, you engage it in a particular way. When it's not a threat, it is something I'm going to do. So if it's something they're going to do, then yes, then it's not a threat. You heard the EFF saying, fix Ekurhuleni, fix that particular MMC position, fix the powers that be there, because what we will then do, if not by midnight, we will start withdrawing our MMCs all over the place.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.